Hi, it's Pastor John Haggard. Today on Treasure Top Ministries, does the devil make me do it? Does temptation make me do it? Do other people make me do it? What actually caused me to get into this mess in the first place? Well, we're going to answer those questions and more in this message. But before we dive in, it's the generous giving from you and from people like you that funds our ability to deliver God's word on how to make life work when life doesn't want to work. Your gifts make it possible for us to use radio, television, YouTube, and social media, including Facebook, to fulfill Matthew 28:19, where Jesus commands us by saying, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Because we are listener-supported, in order to be able to present this program, please consider making a financial gift to Treasure Top so that we can continue to provide more hope for more people in the real world through God's Word. Just go to treasuretop.com and click on the Give button, and we'll share more ways you can connect with us later in the program. Father, thank you that we can reach you at any time, day or night, that you are never on another line or out of the office. The proof that we can reach you 24/7 is that we have your word, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, as you tell us in Hebrews 12. Our prayer today, Father, is that you will save some sinners and draw them by opening their hearts to the truth of your word. We know as Christians we have the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the same power that raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And that power is available to anyone who accepts him as their Lord and Savior. Father, we also know that you and you alone are in charge of all outcomes. We cannot save ourselves because we're born sinners and we're still sinners. And as a pastor, Father, I'm reminded continually that I am in a life or death ministry. Souls do hang in the balance. They will go to one of two places, heaven or hell. So I ask that you would guide me through this message today to reach non-believers with the truth of your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, hi again, everybody. On these questions, does the devil make me do it? Does temptation make me do it? Do other people make me do it? And what actually caused me to get in this mess in the first place? Have you ever wondered why do you do these things you don't want to do? Have you ever wondered if there's something inside of you that makes you do things that you can't control, like maybe a demon living inside or something that just wants to take over your life at certain times? Well, we'll answer those questions, and in part two of this message for next time, I'm going to read you a letter to the devil. Devil, Satan, and the evil one, they're all words for the devil and all interchangeable when we talk about the devil. Letter to the Devil was originally composed and read aloud by a pastor in Texas over 20 years ago, as the story goes, and when you hear it, you'll find a unique approach on speaking back to the devil. You know, a lot of people think the devil is just a made-up myth, not real. After all, have you actually seen him? You know, the one with the deviled horns on top of his head? His body appearing in color red and holding a pitchfork like I'm going to get you? Well, let's talk about some of the things first that you do believe in, even though you can't see them. How about the wind? Do you believe there is wind? You actually can't see the wind. And if you cannot see the wind, how can you believe in the wind? One of the ways you do that is you see the effects of what the wind does. How about gravity? Do you believe there is gravity on Earth? You know, if there were no gravity, we would all be floating around in space somewhere. So that means gravity is very much real, but you can't see it. How about radio and television signal waves? Right now, where you are, there are radio waves and television waves all around you. You can't see them, but you believe in them because you can hear this program right now. And you can watch a television program and talk on your cell phone. Yet all of those signals are invisible. And then how about the thoughts you have? Can you see anyone else's thoughts? Can you see your thoughts? Well, the answer obviously is no, you can't see thoughts, but you believe in them because you have thoughts and so do other people. So it really brings us back to the question, is the devil real if you cannot see him? And just because you can't see the devil Does that mean the devil does not exist? So how do we know? How do we really find out if the devil is real or not, or just a figment of imagination? And how do I get answers to these questions we talked about earlier? Does the devil make me do it? Does temptation make me do it? Do other people make me do it? And what actually caused me to get in this mess in the first place? The gospel, which means good news, the word of God, actually gives us all the answers. But before I can talk about the gospel to answer those questions, does the devil make me do it? Does temptation make me do it? Do other people make me do it? I have to first give you the bad news of the gospel. And here's a sad truth, folks. More and more churches and pastors are shying away from giving you the bad news, which means they're actually keeping the truth from you. It's like getting half the story, but not the full story. In some churches, it's becoming more of a popularity contest to see how popular a pastor is by how many people he can draw to weekend services, and talking only about things that make people feel good without ever addressing the bad news contained in the gospel. There is nothing that delights the devil, Satan, the evil one, more than deception. Anything he can do to keep you from the truth, he will do. Because one day Satan will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity, whereas you have the opportunity to enjoy eternity in heaven when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not the living hell of the lake of fire. And folks, there are a lot of false Christians walking around right now who truly think they're saved, but they're not, because they're being taught a false gospel. Things like, say these sentences, then walk down the aisle to the front, fill out a declaration card, and you'll be saved. Now, because God is truth, he will judge all false teachers, false pastors, deceivers, liars, and people who add to or take away from God's word. Proverbs 19:5 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. And Jeremiah 23:25. I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy falsely in my name, saying, I had a dream. I had a dream. Before we can answer those questions, does the devil make me do it? Does temptation make me do it? Do other people make me do it? We have to know first the truth, not some of the truth, but all of the truth. Anytime you are about to make a decision, you need all the facts. Don't you agree? Don't you want to have all the facts before you make a decision so that you don't make a mistake or do something stupid? The truth is, there is nothing you can do to save yourself. No pastor can save you. No friend can save you. No one can save you. You can't save you. Only God can save you. Jesus said this in John 6:44, no one can come to me. And remember, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ, by accepting him as your Lord and Savior. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And what Jesus means by, and I will raise him up on the last day, is that all who are in Christ, meaning they have accepted him as their Lord and Savior, whether living right now or who have already died a physical death and their spirit is with God right now in heaven, all Christians will join Christ in heaven and on the new earth one day in fully resurrected, like new bodies. And there's nothing in John 6:44 that says there is anything else that can save somebody. John 6:56, John 12:32, and Jeremiah 31:3 also refer to what Jesus is saying about no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Pastor and author John MacArthur said it this way, quote, the glory of the Bible, that's God's word, is to understand the power of the law and its right to destroy someone who does not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, end quote. Now you say, Pastor, how can that be glory, that God has the right to destroy someone? who does not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior? And what do you mean by destroy? Now, I'm going to tie all of this back to the devil question we're going to answer, so stay with me. But remember when I said just a few minutes ago, there's nothing that delights the devil, Satan, the evil one, more than deception. Anything he can do to keep you from the truth, he will do, because one day Satan will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Whereas you have the opportunity, he doesn't, but you do, to enjoy eternity in heaven, not the living hell of the lake of fire, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the truth you need to know. You also need to know that God made you. God's Word teaches that you and I were made in His image. Our bodies do not belong to us. They belong to God. Beginning in Genesis 1:26 in the NASB translation, the Bible says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image.'" Now, when God says our, this is actually the first clear indication of the Trinity that you may have heard about. God as three persons in one. That's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Genesis 3:22 and 11:7 also refer to us, also further demonstrating God appearing as three persons in one, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there are many other scripture references that point to God as three persons in one. Then the verse goes on to say, according to our likeness, and there's that word our again, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, okay, that seems to be good. He made us in his image. So what's the bad news you were referring to earlier, Pastor? And what do you mean that God has the right to destroy someone who does not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior? Well, first off, it's not what I say. It's what God's Word says. God's Word should always be your authority on the truth, not necessarily what a pastor says, because, as I said earlier, there are many false teachers. Read what 2 Peter 2:1-3 in the NASB translation says, quote, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. End quote. The heresy referred to in this passage is to preach a false gospel, as Paul stated in Galatians 1:9. Quote, as we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you have received, let him be accursed. End quote. So it's critical that you know the truth, the way to eternal life in heaven, and what condemns someone to hell. Because there are only one of two places that everybody will go. It's going to either be heaven or hell. So bottom line, we do not belong to ourselves. God made us, and all who reside in him go to heaven, and those who do not go to hell. It's just that simple, and that's the truth. And when you hear someone say, it's my body, I'll do what I want, folks, they're just flat out wrong. God knew us before the beginning of the world, and he knitted us in our mother's womb. Psalm 139:13, right there. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. Now, the devil would want you to believe it is your body and that you can do anything you want to, and that is a lie. Now, Scripture has a lot to say about the evil one, the devil. Jesus says he's been a murderer from the beginning, and he's engaged in an all-out war against the forces of good of the universe. John 8:44 in the NIV translation says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The context of what Jesus is saying is, because the Jews showed patterns of Satan in their hostility toward Jesus and exhibited their failure in believing in him as Messiah, they actually belonged to the devil, Satan. Now, here are some sobering facts about the devil, and make no mistake, he is alive and real. But can he make you do something? Let's find out. But first, if you'd like to hear a replay of this message, including the ending that we are about to hear, go to treasuretop.com under podcasts, and there you will see a link to this program, Does the Devil Make Me Do It? That's treasuretop.com. And there you will also see all of our contact information as well as other messages to help you make life work when life doesn't want to work. And sign up for our free newsletter while you're there. And please consider making a tax-deductible donation in any amount to help us continue to deliver messages like these. The truth, as we must pay for all of our media placement of messages, just go to treasuretop.com and press the Give button at the top of the website. And now, back to conclude the message, Does the Devil Make Me Do It? I'm going to borrow heavily from Logos.com Bible study notes for a good summation on 14 facts about the devil that you need to know. Now, we won't get to all 14 facts in this message, so in the next message, part 2, I will conclude with the facts of what you need to know about the live and active Satan, devil, evil one who, as 1 Peter 5:8 says in the NASB translation, "Be of sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Notice the scripture does not say used to prowl about like a roaring lion, but says prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Folks, the devil is very much alive, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit that all Christians receive when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to ward off the devil, just like Jesus did. But, you know, some of you might say, well, yeah, but that was in Jesus' time, and this is this time, thousands of years later, and I'm me. Did you hear what I just said? All Christians have the same power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ has the moment they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What happens, folks, is that the Holy Spirit descends upon them and lives in them. And I mean, all Christians have that power to ward off the devil just like Jesus did. Non-Christians don't have that power to ward off the devil. Only Christians do. So let's get started with the facts. Fact number 1 from the Logos Bible study on the sobering facts about the devil. What does Satan mean? Well, the word Satan actually means adversary. So how did the devil get the name Satan in the first place? Over the centuries between the book of Malachi, and that's the last book of the Old Testament, and Jesus in the New Testament, Jewish writers began to use this label as a name for the biggest adversary of them all, a divine being who rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden by tempting Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Fact 2 on the sobering facts about the devil from Logos.com Bible study, quote, "Pride fueled the devil's origin story." Perhaps the last place you'd look to find about information on Satan is in a list of pastoral qualities. And yet, as the Apostle Paul lays out the qualities he expects of church leaders, he makes specific mention of the devil. The Apostle warns Timothy that any elder, quote, "must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil." That's in 1 Timothy 3:6 in the ESV translation. The Bible doesn't give us a great deal of specifics when it comes to Satan's rebellion against God, But in the passages that do seem to touch on the devil's fall from grace, pride is a predominant theme. You know what the middle letter of pride is? Have you ever noticed? It's I, all about me. And that's when we are subject to fall, when it's all about us. Fact 3 on the sobering facts about the devil, quote, Satan's domain is earth and Sheol. In the 3rd chapter of Genesis, that's the first book of the Bible in the Old Testament, the serpent persuades Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, expelling them from Eden and sealing their doom. But although Adam and Eve are punished, Satan gets the fiercest curse from the God he rebelled against. The Lord says to him, Cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. Genesis 3:14. Fact 4 on the sobering facts about the devil from the Logos Bible Study, quote, Satan rules the nations of the earth. The author of 1 John states that the whole world is under the control of the evil one, and other passages of the New Testament specifically point to the devil's control over the nations of the world. For example, Satan's final offer, as he tempts Jesus in the wilderness, we find in Matthew 4:8-11 in the NASB translation. Quote, Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Now, did the devil make Jesus fulfill the temptation before him? No. You've heard me say this before, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, is the same power you receive when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Remember when I talked about the Trinity earlier? That's God as three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus had the power not to fulfill the temptation and promises of Satan, and you have that same power. So, can the devil, Satan, the evil one, make you do something? No. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside to protect you. Temptation is not a sin. It's the fulfillment of the temptation that becomes the sin. Some people think, well, you know, I have these awful, nasty thoughts. I can't control that. It's got to be sin. How could something like that get in my mind? Here's how you can react when something like that happens. In peace about thoughts. We can't control all of the thoughts that come into our mind, but we can control how we react to those thoughts, whether or not we take action upon them. Let's say you're a married man, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's beautiful girl comes into your vision, just kind of like popped out of a car or came around from the corner, just totally unexpected. And your thoughts are, wow, she is just unbelievably beautiful. I shouldn't even be looking at her. I'm married. Well, you can't control situations like that, but Scripture teaches us how we react to the stimulus determines whether it's a sin or not. There's no sin to look in this case that we're talking about unless you look lustfully, and then the look becomes a sin. That would be, as Jesus says in Matthew 5:27-28 in the NASB, You have heard that it was said, You shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Fact 5 on the sobering facts about the devil from the Logos Study. Quote, Satan commands his own host of demons. By the time of Jesus' ministry, Satan had not only attained power over all of the nations of the earth, but he had also amassed a following of demons. The Jews of Jesus' time believed that Satan was the ruler of the demons. In fact, some even claimed it was only by Satan's power that Jesus could cast out demons the way he did. But Jesus says this isn't the case. Mark 3:23-26 in the ESV translation. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. End quote. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit was the one sin that Jesus told the Pharisees at that time would not ever be forgiven. Freeing people from the influence of these demons was a major part of Christ's early ministry as Jesus came into the world to destroy the devil's work. 1 John 3:8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Well, due to time constraints, that's all the time we're going to have in this message for part one of Does the Devil Make Me Do It? But we will finish up the remaining sobering facts about the devil in our next message together and why it matters to you. What I really want you to take away from today's message is that the devil cannot make you do anything. Temptation does not make you do anything. Other people don't make you do something. What actually causes you to get in a mess is you, not some spiritual force or other person. And here's why. When we rely on self-power instead of Holy Spirit power, we make the mess. When we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, God gives us a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 in the New Century Translation says, "The only temptation that has come to you is that which everyone has, but you can trust God who will not permit you to be tempted more than you can stand. But when you are tempted, he will also give you a way to escape so that you will be able to stand it or to give in." But the devil can't make any Christian do anything. I hope you got something out of our time together today, either for yourself or for a friend. And if so, would you consider making a generous tax-deductible gift to Treasure Top? We are listener-supported, which means we do pay for all of our programs. There are three ways to give your tax-deductible donation. You can go to treasuretop.com and click on the Give button. Or if you're on a mobile phone, you can text your donation with the word Give to 844-553-1590. That's the word Give to 844-553-1590. And if you prefer, you can mail your gift. It's P.O. Box 210-615, Nashville, Tennessee, 37221. Thank you for considering a generous donation in order that we may continue to spread the saving grace of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to hear your Word today. And for those who are struggling with temptation, help us to understand that the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the same power that your Son had to defeat the devil. We know that no sinner can ever make the first move in the salvation process of being saved, because you alone are the one who saves us, not us saving ourselves. And Father, for those who don't know you, for those who have not accepted your Son as their Lord and Savior, I pray that you will move in their hearts, for we know it is you who controls outcomes. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And now it's Pastor John Haggard saying, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.